Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Teresa in America,
back at In the Open.
Hi, guys. We're happy to be back. So today we are going to be talking about what is trauma, in the idea of like trauma, identifying what it is and all of the conversations around what trauma could look like. Part of that conversation, I think, relates to, for me, collective trauma around so many issues. But we can explore that.
Okay, so do you identify as a trauma survivor?
No. Immediate first reaction, no.
Yeah. I identify as a trauma survivor. And I also spend a lot of time thinking about my trauma because I have, as a trauma survivor, I call that like big T trauma.
I love how you capitalize stuff and like lowercase stuff. Like
because my trauma has made me unable to think. So I have to set up these stupid rudimentary ways of categorizing the world so I can basically function.
Okay. This is interesting. Keep going because I'm going to tell you what I was thinking.
When you think about your experiences and you're like, what is trauma? And then I rolled my eyes because when you're like, oh, collective trauma, that's not fair that I rolled my eyes, because I do think that people can experience collective trauma. But for people who have experienced individual trauma, our experience of collective trauma is just categorically different because it's compounded, right? I feel like what happens is for people who have collective trauma, that experience is, it sits on top of your individual trauma.
Okay.
And this is where I think a lot of conversation about feeling triggered by things or the way that we become reactive to experiences because we're returning back to our coping skills to survive, to feel safe. Like that's where that comes in.
And you asking me, do I identify as a trauma survivor? And my immediate response is no. I would say a lot of people, unless they have maybe explored this topic a little bit more, do identify in that way. Because at least for me, I'd be like, well, what I've experienced, I don't know that I would call it trauma.
Yeah.
Then the other side of my brain, like my trained mental health professional brain, is like, actually, it is trauma. And, you know, excuse me, you know, you need to correct your thinking. But
yeah.
That it's like this dichotomy, right, that exists. And when you're talking about this collective trauma and how it's different, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
But I also think that because trauma can be experienced by a group of people, our individual experience is still going to be very different because we are each individuals. But there is a shared component to being able to connect in a way to say, did you also feel X? Because that's what I felt, which is similar to when you start working with folks who do identify as trauma survivors and you're able to then open up with others, right? And be like, did you feel that? And you're like, yes. And you're like, God, thank goodness you understand.
Yeah. If you're human, I do think that you experience shadows or things that are traumatic. It's funny because the same thing happened recently in like a couples therapy session with my husband and I, where maybe because I'm all anxious or whatever because of my constant trauma and I've become programmed to identify everything as traumatic because this is what's helped me survive. My husband is kind of the opposite. He was a little more like you know, where he was like really downplaying these childhood experiences where he would describe them and be like, what you're talking about is so traumatic. And the way that you're reacting to them, like this happened to you when you were 15 or 13 and you're still impacted by it as a 43-year-old. Like if that's not the definition of trauma, then what is, you know? And he's like, right. I just didn't even say that same trap where we're like, we just dismiss our experiences because we're like, oh, well, what I experienced wasn't as bad as rape or assault or being beat up, which is horribly traumatic. And so you're like, oh, I wasn't traumatized, mm-hmm. you know? And I will say as a survivor, we do this all the time. We're like, oh, well, that incident only happened once. Or, oh, because people ask you questions like that, you know? that feel like they're gaslighting you about your experiences. Mm-hmm. They want to be like, oh, well, did they do that in this way? Or did this happen to you?
They're gauging and measuring, right?
It's so derailing. It can really derail a person from healing when they run up against these kinds of questions, when you're asking yourself, is what I am experiencing traumatic or not traumatic? When people question your trauma.
Yes, I agree with that. If you take away the mental health lens, because, you know, we're both mental health professionals and just the general public, most often the reaction that your husband had is what most people have. Mm-hmm. It happened. Okay, whatever. I'm fine. It's not affecting my life right now. But when you start working around issues that still come up today and you start doing the work and unearthing all the stuff that kind of has built up on that, then you're like, oh my God, that's tied to the fact that my dad didn't do X. And you're like, what? So in many ways, I understand how the outside world will be like, oh, well, if you end up actually digging stuff up, yeah, you're going to see it's traumatic, but, you know, you've been fine. So it is a disservice to simply say, well, it doesn't really matter because I can still function. And that's not what we're talking about, right? Like your ability to function.
So if I had to pinpoint you and say, how do you define trauma? What is trauma?
For me, I would say anything that has impacted your life, any event, experience that has impacted your life that to this day you carry with you that has some sort of detrimental effect.
I like it. You know, I think it's more inclusive to reality and people's experiences. I think the problem with PTSD or trauma research is they want to corner experiences into a narrow bucket so that they can understand it and then treat it as a condition. And in doing so, they inherently set up these criteria. Like you can only have PTSD or trauma if your life was threatened. Or at first it was like if you went to war.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, wait, kids in cities experience PTSD and community violence and have these things, you know? And so what does seeing a gun shooting do, or experiencing abuse and child abuse do? And so if they started to expand that, but in doing so, they still narrowly define trauma and PTSD to this life-threatening situation.
Totally.
But so I like that you're just saying, look, life is full of trauma. I do believe that. Life is full of trauma. Human life is so hard. And so inherently there's going to be suffering, and these experiences where you have suffering, they affect the thoughts that you have and the way you see the world and the way you see yourself. And to me, that is what I think trauma is.
Yeah. You know, when you talk about this idea of it's like the boxes, right, that are created that we have to check and be like, oh, if you experience this, then yes, you qualify. I understand the reality that exists behind that idea, but I don't believe that it can be implemented when we really talk about our personal experiences. Because when we start understanding our emotions and talking about our emotions and kind of dealing with all the crap that we carry, mm-hmm. part of that requires for you to do this work. And the work of, remember, we call it the ninja work. You started that, remember? And to really dig deep and figure out what has happened. And if then my experience doesn't fit into these boxes, it negates it. And it's like, wait, I would never go out and be like, well, I'm a PTSD survivor. It's like, what? No, dude. So when I go and seek out information and I need help, I'm not going to be like, oh, well, I think I have PTSD. Well, no, I've never been to war. I'm not a soldier.
And that's why I say big T and little T. So
it makes sense.
My big T in my life are those events that have been so impactful that they had the power to derail my life completely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about that, right? Like, I'm 40 years old and these things still haunt me.
Yeah.
Why I can't sleep, why I have struggles being in relationship with people, I can tell when events happen, like community trauma, my little T's, they bring up my big T's. I'm like, whoa, this is why literally I'm just going to start crying right now. Like, you know, so it never leaves you. It's still always kind of there. But then like on top of that, you have little T's all the time, little things of traumatic experiences that if you're not on guard, sometimes like certain categories of little T's, they get bucketed in your brain into like, and this happens especially with relationships, you know, you're like, you can have a big T, but like in relationships, I find that I'm like, oh, this person said this, this person did mm-hmm. this. I'm going to put this into this bag. And then if I don't check that stuff, dude, 2 years down the line, my little T bag of this type of behavior, or this type of interpretation of an action, it turns into this ugly little bag of crap.
What I see when I hear you speak of this and describe it in that way is like a road with little bumps, you know, like speed bumps. Boop, boop. They happen. We all encounter them. But then you come to the crossroads, and that and the big T is that crossroads. Like, it's taking you in a totally different direction. And, you know, you're right. Over time, if we go, like, when you're driving, so hopefully people can understand my vision here. When you're driving, you know, and you don't even see the speed bump, it's coming, and it's like a shock to your system. You're like, oh, damn. Mm-hmm. Oh, damn. I got to pull myself together again. And it's like, oh. And when you know that it's coming, because for me, that's the work, right? That you're able to recognize, oh, damn it, this word, why does he say this exact thing that makes me think this thing? And then it's like, let me slow down because I know I'm going to go over that speed bump. What I think, though, is also very important in what you've said is the way that we react to these small T's, they can create two things. One, a monster, right? Because they go unchecked. Or two, in many ways, you've become so prone to just knowing that they're coming that they're not even a thing anymore. It doesn't even register.
That's true. And that's so much scarier. And it's right, right? Like before someone knocks you out of your position and they say something so disarming, like, am I selfish? You know, like, have I done something that, you know, makes you have to reflect because somebody you care about has told you something disarming. Like, yeah, it's a scary place to be. Scary for me. I really am afraid of that because it's a bit of like the bully becoming the bully. The bully.
Oh, yeah.
The bully, you know, you're like, oh, I took all my pain and my hurt and now I'm hurting other people and I don't want to become the thing that like hurt me, you know? Yes. And that's such a common trap among trauma. And I see this all the time with my children where I'm just like, I am so afraid of becoming the thing that I'm most afraid of. So look like I'm about to cry because that clearly is tapping something, right?
But it's so important. There's something there. Though.
Like, I think these are the way our brains and our bodies like send us signals that like anytime that I now as an adult, If I have an experience, like I'm talking to America and she's saying something to me that resonates and it brings up strong emotions and I either want to cry or I want to run away, like that is always a sign to me that I'm like, you have tapped into something deep and meaningful and you have a choice. You can pack it up and put it on the shelf or you can sit with it and try and learn and understand. And this is for me, understanding how to start to identify trauma.
I feel tied to what you're saying around one, how closely connected it is to your emotions and the visceral emotion, right? Because most often we're just like, I'm gonna suck it up. Like you're like, boom, I gotta keep going, right? Because I can't explore that right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the moments where we do explore that are when we are the closest we are to our true self in recognizing that the pain that we have experienced and all this really is tied to our well-being today. That idea of you becoming what you've seen was a traumatizing factor. For me, what resonates is the anger, right? Like where I can immediately like lash out and I'd be like, argh! And the monster just is like, dude, stop. Please, like, use the hose on me to just stop. And so it's now, you know, within the last years that I can recognize that that's tied to all these different issues and the words that we use and everything.
There is something special about physical abuse or even being hit and spanked. And I don't know if you relate to this, like in Asian culture, we've turned a lot of this kind of experiences into like jokes, you know? So I it's funny because if you asked me like, hey, the way you were disciplined as a kid, like, do you call that your big T or little T? Like, it's funny because that whole experience in my life, I have not categorized as either.
Yeah. One of the things that I've done, and this has occurred in different instances when I've worked with therapists, like, you know, one of the intake forms that you fill out or whatever. And one of the questions I remember was like, how were you disciplined? And I was like, I remember looking at it, like, I don't know. How was I disciplined? I mean, I was hit. Like, I remember getting spanked.
Yeah.
And I was like, why are they asking that? And then, of course, I was just like, it makes sense. They have to understand all of these, you know, aspects. But again, it goes back to that digging, right? Like, you wouldn't know that it's connected. Yeah. You just don't.
Because a therapist would say the way that you're disciplined is not necessarily big T. Like, what we say right. is a traumatic experience that derails your life that causes you to have post-traumatic stress disorder. But the way that you're disciplined absolutely drives your attachment, the way that you connect to other people. And those cumulative experiences can be traumatic.
I also think oftentimes we get lost in thinking about all of our experiences, and there's not something that's like, maybe there is. I'm talking about myself. I've never run across a worksheet that's like big T, little T. You know, and you start jotting things down and you're like, I don't even know what to call what I experienced. Because then it's about like defining, right? And putting these things into boxes. So for me, that's why I connected to these, any experience that really you, like if you quietly are sitting and you like think back to the things that have impacted you that in some way are negative, for me, that's a trauma.
Our Mental Health Month materials, Danielle asked me to help her with a trauma worksheet. And that's basically, I think what I wrote is like
big trauma. T, little T.
No, I didn't. And now I feel like I should go back and do like a big T, little T worksheet. But I just said like, just when you're thinking about your trauma, it's any situation that changes the way you see yourself, others, or the world.
Yeah.
In a negative way.
Yeah.
Because it is inclusive of all experiences, both big T and little T experiences. Yeah. But you're right. It has been very valuable to identify the quality of these experiences. And at least for me, I did have to categorize them as big T, little T, just so I could figure out how much attention to pay to both and to be a little more aware of not dismissing little T's as unimportant.
Oh yeah.
And then asking myself constantly, is the way that I am reacting in response to my big T, which I will carry with me through life. I cannot and will never undo that. I cannot forget. Anybody who has experienced a life-threatening event or series of life-threatening events, because more often than not, it's not one event. Most people experience series of events. And those things all are similar in nature, right? Because it's normally like one person or one situation. Going to war isn't like, oh, I went to war and it was fine. No, going to war is you saw all those things during war. Living in a hard community, you said all those things about living in a hard community. So like, I don't know, that whole forgive and forget, you can never, it will always be with you.
That's kind of like this idea around collective trauma that I'm talking about. And before I go there, I'm going to tell you one thing. Like, so, you know, if you've been listening for a while, you probably know. But if you don't know, now you know. I wasn't born here. I was born in Bolivia. So I came here when I was like 6 and a half, 7. It would have never registered that was a traumatic event. not at all. Right. And until much later, I had to write about my experience for an essay in school at some point, and I was like, that was a hard thing to do, you know? And I never really thought about it until that moment. And yeah. Now, being at the age that I am, you know, I can look back and be like, dude, of course that's traumatic. And that in itself is not trauma just on me. It's compounded trauma when you think about like my family. And when I think about my parents making a decision, you know, to come here and be like, that is a big deal.
Yeah.
And then I think how all of these issues relate to it. But again, you never really see it. I never yeah. really saw it as trauma until I started exploring how all of those things have impacted my life yeah. and yeah. my emotions. So while I think about that, let me jump to collective trauma because it's living in me right now, this idea. Mm-hmm. So as an immigrant, there's an aspect of consistently kind of having to demonstrate your worth when people, you may not necessarily be questioned, but you are, your presence and your abilities are questioned.
Yeah.
So you learn how to compensate for that. Mm-hmm. And this is also something that is shared in many other communities, right? Where mm-hmm. you got to do better.
Yeah.
Because
do you belong.
Yes. And so all of that is tied for me to this idea of collective trauma.
Yeah. I think a lot of, if not all, of non-white individuals question constantly whether we belong in this country. Mm-hmm. A lot of the country doesn't feel like it was made for us. Mm-hmm. You and I can have a whole other thing just about like disasters and what happens when something big hits your community that's not personal, but it really derails your life. Like what happens after a hurricane? What happens after a pandemic?
Pandemic? You mean a pandemic? Yeah. That's something that I want to think about for a sec because, you know, for me, I remember, and this is in many ways tied to other ways in which we remember things that happen, right? Like, what were you doing on the day that X thing happened? Mm. And I remember receiving an email from Mr. King, right? Being like, we're living under unprecedented times. And I was like, Mr., what do you mean? What's happening? And of course, then the pandemic, everything like kind of like, you know, went upside down. So in talking to people and in hearing stories of folks, I know that there are things that people have experienced within this time frame that all of a sudden were very jarring to their existence. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, they may not consider it as something that is traumatic, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. But I would say you have the space to actually call it what it is because it is trauma. You've had to readjust all in all of these different spaces to not only readjust your thinking, mm-hmm. hopefully you have if you've been in a space that you're like, I don't even know what this means. Mm-hmm. Why does it matter that people are marching? All these things. It's like, hold up, man. All of these things we are all feeling. Mm-hmm. So it's okay to embrace that. Mm-hmm. And explore what that means.
And at different levels, right?
Yes.
For the pandemic, I think about my friends or my family members who have lost someone experienced increase in violence. Like even the little bit that we were holding it together in our house, I'm like, I know it was hard for a lot of people. I think the only approach that we could do is to honor these experiences. I mean, there's no judgment about labeling it. That's where it can be toxic. But if you evaluate yeah. and you understand what is traumatic or not traumatic for yourself, I think that's what's important.
I think you're completely right, Teresa, about what you're saying. It is not about qualifying or quantifying.
Yeah.
But it is about accepting in many ways that we have all and continue to live in spaces that were never expected, you know, they just weren't. And there's a lot to say for what that means to be able to honor the space, like you said, but also give yourself space to, I want to say grieve, because you do have to do that.
Yeah.
To be able to be fully present with the experience and the emotion that you're having.
Yeah, definitely. So if you're asking yourself, like, what is trauma? Is what I have experienced trauma? Only you can answer that. Don't let anybody else answer that question for you. Only you know what's traumatic. Is it a trauma? Is it something that you're going to carry with you for a long time? Maybe. And that may be how you identify a big T. Maybe it's just, hey, that experience was a little traumatic. Like, it made me scared. It made me fearful. You just categorize that as traumatic. But you can bounce back. We all bounce back from like big T and little T.
Yeah, totally.
I like that we've explored like not like trauma is not just about feeling life-threatening fear for your life. You know, I like that we've talked about the way it shapes our mind, and you've talked about guilt, and you talk about, you know, other feelings, shame, guilt, and there's one you said, grief, sadness, because I think these are the feelings that we don't often tie to trauma that have way bigger impact, like survivor's guilt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why was I the one that lived? Or what if I had made a decision that was different? Could I have saved somebody? Like, freak me for life. That one derailed me for a good 6 years.
Yeah, that's tough.
Because you're like, oh, I'll take being hurt myself, but what I did hurt someone else.
Forget it. It's the impact of your actions that on others that I think is very damaging to our psyche.
Yeah.
I would also ask this question because I'd want you to share your thoughts. When I'm in this space of wondering what it is that I've experienced, what I'm feeling, when do I seek help? Like, I have an answer, but when do I know that I should seek help?
I mean, my instinct is like right away, tell somebody, because I don't know. I lived for a long time by myself, and I would try to say something to some people and people wouldn't respond, because when you're young, you don't just come out and say, oh, X is happening to me. You test, right? You're like, I'm going to try and say something. It's not very clear. And so the person who's on the other side is not interpreting what you're putting out.
Yeah.
The way that you're supposed to say it. And that's hard, because even as an adult, I've had to look back and just be like, I tried to say something, but y'all were not listening. Mm-hmm. All the way to like getting arrested. Because, you know, you're like, oh, like, you know, you're a bad kid and like you do bad things. And like, oh, yeah, because crappy things are happening or whatever in your life. But I don't know. I think I remember the first time I finally told very clearly a friend like what was happening. And then we somehow went on a circle and like everybody had a similar story, like a story to tell about something horribly traumatic that was happening to you. And that was the first time I felt like, oh, my God, I'm not a freak.
Yeah.
But, you know, better to say something to someone like a friend than to be alone. And it's a process. So it's like, it's not, you know, it's how do you reach out for help? I don't categorize help as like, what was the day I got a therapist?
Yeah.
Because my decision for one day going to get a therapist was like totally different from the day I told a family member, from a day I told a friend, for a day I wrote it in a journal. And like every single one of those ways of basically unpacking what I otherwise wanted to hold just inside my soul to me, though, that is the process of unloading the trauma, because you have a choice. You can continue to put it on the shelf in that bag, or you can say, I'm going to start taking scoops out and I'm going to put it in this thing. I'm going to put it in a journal. I'm going to talk to a friend. I'm going to write an anonymous blog on the website. I did that because it was just like, you have to put it somewhere.
Those are very helpful to help frame what help could look like. My immediate reaction is when you feel like you can't hold this in anymore, like it's just sitting like right there. That's when, in my experience, I've had to ask for help and been like, oh, fudge, I'm going to have to do it.
But like people who experience traumatic experiences, like we could sit in that space for a long time
because
we're trained to. Mm-hmm. We're trained to suppress ourselves and suppress our feelings. So we're very good at shoving it down. And somehow as a trauma survivor, you just keep making more room in your throat, you know?
Yeah.
Until what? Till you get arrested, till you start smoking at 8 years old or, you know, cutting or, you know, getting in negative relationships or act out sexually. Like we all, I don't know. I have it because I know that that happens. Like for us as trauma survivors, we can just take and take and take and take and take. We've been trained. We've trained ourselves to do that. I don't know. I'm just like, do everything. As soon as you feel like you reasonably can do something, because I'm so afraid that we all would just continue to sit and take it.
No, I think that's a very valid concern, dude, because it goes back to the idea, right? Like, why do anything? Nothing will change, right?
Why do anything? Because nothing will matter. You will sit there forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's very helpful either way to really speak to these issues, to let others know, like, it's okay if you've been thinking about this, you know, forever.
Yeah.
And maybe today is the one time that you're like you said, you know, when you sat around with the friends that you had and you hear from others, that's what happens when you're able to share.
No, that's why I love the internet. I didn't have the internet when I was young, but man, the last time I had traumatic stuff come up, I went straight to the internet and I tried to find as many people who are experiencing something like I did, or anonymous places with forums or whatever to post stuff, just to be like, I need to say this thing to have other people be like, you're not a freak. What you're going through is real, you know? And I was like, oh, okay, I feel better.
Yeah.
I'm better today than I was at 11.
I'm glad.
Thank you, everyone. Talk to you later.
We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.